Last night was my final Saturday night Zoom teaching at Phoenix Rescue Mission. On Tuesday, I got to go on a tour of their brand new building that they built there. And so they have built a four-story building. It's their new facility. Cost $9 million to build the building, and it is all paid for by donations and whatnot. But Todd Smith, who's the director of programs, I got a tour of the new facility, and it is going to enable them to take care of 360 people as opposed to 150. So the other building is being renovated now so that it can be, they definitely need to expand the dining room. And so they're expanding the dining room and the kitchen, so they won't get up to 360 until they're ready with that, as well as staff and stuff. So we got to tour the facility. It's gorgeous, it's beautiful. It was more than just look at this room, here's this office. We also got a lot of explanation about the program that they do there in helping people. So I could, share for half an hour about that, but I'm not going to. But it's a definitely a faith-based operation that they have there. He told me that they buried in the foundation a Bible. So right there in the lobby area where the foundation, they've buried a Bible because they want things to be based on God and His Word. So it was a wonderful to go through the tour and especially hear about the different ways that they're helping people with, counseling and classes, vocational training, mentoring, and all of that. So moving forward, now that COVID's over with, starting this summer, they're going to do two services a week, Sunday nights and Thursday nights, from 6:30 to 8. And they invite local pastors to come in and just do a service. And I've been invited and accepted to do the first Thursday of the month, beginning August the 5th. So on the first Thursdays of the month, I'll be blessed to be there with them and sharing God's word. And if any of the men here would like to come on any of those first Thursdays, you're more than welcome. Just let me know ahead of time. Some of you have already been there a few times, but if any of you men would like to join, just let me know. Well, today is Sunday, June the 27th, 2021, and if you would take your Bibles and go to Acts chapter 13. Acts 13 to begin. Last night when I was teaching, I mentioned that the Apostle Paul spent time growing in God's Word after he got born again. It was years after the event of the trip to Damascus where he got born again. It was years after that before God would send him and Barnabas out to minister God's Word to different areas. I think you probably remember it was 3 years before he went back to Jerusalem, and he was only there for like 2 weeks, and then he went to his hometown of Tarsus, and then Barnabas came down to Tarsus, brought him up to Antioch of Syria, where there was quite an outreach going on there. Spent time there ministering God's word, and then God sent him and Barnabas out to a number of areas. But then it would be years later that he would get revelation to write the scriptures. So when he got born again, he didn't just get born again, give me a pen, I'm going to write some stuff. It was years later. And this morning, we're going to take a look at that very first trip out of Antioch of Syria, because we're going to end up in the other Antioch here in a minute. But in Acts 13 is where we will begin this morning. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." They had ministered to the Lord and fasted. Interesting about fasting. In Isaiah 58, God said what he determined fasting was. It says there that, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen?" to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. It's interesting to read that chapter 58 in Isaiah sometime regarding fasting. So, as they ministered, verse 2, to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, and they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, this is that same Bar-Jesus dude, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Nothing has changed. The work of the adversary is still to stop the movement of God's word, to stop the preaching of God's word, to stop the message of salvation. He's always been after the word. I mean, all you have to do is read Genesis 3 and you get his MO, right? That's what he's after. Get rid of the word of God. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, set his eyes on him. Boy, I wish I was there to watch that. That'd be kind of cool. And said, oh, full of all subtlety and all mischief, you child of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. You shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. It was the word of God that blessed him. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John departed from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, you men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Boy, what a great open door Paul had. You know, I think of this in terms of like sphere of influence. There are people that you can talk to that maybe I can't. You know, there are people I can talk to maybe that you can't. Whatever door opens up for us to be able to share God's word. This is so wonderful. There he is sitting in the synagogue. They just read the scriptures and, sir, would you like to share? Is there anything you'd like to? Oh, yeah, I got a few things. Sure. This is wonderful. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel and you that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with a high arm brought he them out of it. So it's in this synagogue. He's sharing with people that obviously should know the history of Israel and the people and the deliverance from Egypt. So he's giving them a little history lesson. And verse 18, about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years, until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he, God, raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. And part of God's will was to send a redeemer, which he promised back in Genesis 3:15. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. So what is he telling them? That it's been fulfilled, the promise that God made to David, that from his descendants, the Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer would come. And that's just what he told them. Of this man's seed has God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus, whom John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think you that I am? I'm not he, but behold, there comes one after me, whose shoes of his feet I'm not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is this word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day. Remember how Jesus confronted them when he was in his earthly ministry, and how the religious leaders did not believe the word of God. Boy, he nailed them on that. They knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day. They have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. All that was written of him in the scriptures, in the Old Testament. But, verse 30, God raised him from the dead, and was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings. This is good news, folks. How that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God has fulfilled it. God has fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus again, as it's also written in the second Psalm. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Wasn't it great that God had this written so that, you know, we know Paul traveled and taught here and taught there. Boy, I sure wish I could have been there. We are, right here in Acts 13. We're there. This is what he was doing. This is how Paul preached. And he said here in the second Psalm, you know, often in the book of Acts and also in the epistles, you see where Paul quoted the scriptures, where Paul referred back to scriptures. And here he's referring to Psalm 2. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning, verse 34, and as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. That's a quote from Isaiah 55. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, he's quoting now from Psalm 16, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. You know, four times he told them that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Four times. And as you know, for a person to get saved, to obtain eternal life, they need to do two things. They need to confess, acknowledge, affirm, recognize, if you like, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. And then number two, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Well, he's already told them in verse 26, I believe it was. He told them that he was preaching unto them the word of salvation. He told them that as God had promised, he raised up the Savior from the seed of David. This is the one that God had promised. He told them that Jesus fulfilled all that was written concerning the Savior. He told them that God had indeed fulfilled his promise. And then he's told them like four times that God raised him from the dead. Pretty cool. We are at verse 38. So that was quite some preaching. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that, and there it is, believe, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. If you keep your finger here a second and go to Romans 3. In Romans chapter 3, it says in verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, this righteousness of God, it's unto all and upon all them that believe. For there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And I think you know that the word justified, justification, righteous, righteousness, they all come from a basic same word. And it means to be right according to a legal standard. So back in Acts, where we were at, verse 39, and by him, by Jesus Christ, all that believe, all we need to do is believe, are justified, made righteous from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. And then in verse 40, he said, beware lest that come upon you which was spoken of in the prophets. And now he's going to quote from Habakkuk. Behold, you despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. In other words, don't reject this message that I'm giving you today. Verse 42, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. According to the critical Greek text, I'm going to read that verse from Reverend Cummins' working translation. As they in the synagogue departed, they besought that these words might be spoken to them again on the next Sabbath. The Word of God sure blessed them and said, wow, preach, can you come back next Saturday and preach? We'd be blessed to hear this, some more of this. Now, verse 43, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. I would call that revival, wouldn't you? Yeah, people were excited about God's word. You know, we can read here in Acts and then some stuff in the epistles as well that Paul traveled extensively. The area that he covered is just amazing. I mean, especially when you think about what travel was like in those days. I don't think I would be wanting to do that kind of traveling. But here we get a little glimpse of what he taught and how he taught. And, you know, of course, years later, God had him write the Word of God. And we can read some of that in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, he sent this epistle to the believers at Ephesus. He spent quite a bit of time in Ephesus, as you know from reading the book of Acts. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. For those who are saved, born again, we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. You know, God's not doling them out a little at a time just to see how you're going to do. All right, you're doing okay. I'll give you a little more. No, when we get born again, we receive all spiritual blessings. No wonder it says in Colossians that we are complete. We're not lacking. We're complete in Him. Verse 4, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. Holy and without blame. That's how God sees us. How do you see yourself? That's how God sees you. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Talk about how do you see yourself. Colossians 1 verse 21 says, and you, me? Yes, you. Colossians 1, 21. And you, that were sometime or formerly in the past, before you got born again, alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. We were separated from God because of sin, because of what Adam did. We were separated, but now because we got born again, we're reunited, we're reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. By the completed work of Jesus Christ, nothing we did, we are now presented, reconciled back to God, and in His eyes we are presented holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. So how do we see ourselves? Holy, unblameable, unreprovable, lovely, acceptable in His sight. We might not be lovely and acceptable in some people's sight, right? But in God's sight. No wonder what we read in Romans 3 where it said, even the righteousness of God, which is unto all them that believe. God has made us righteous in His sight. We are righteous ones. Oh, my goodness. Back to Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, or unto sonship, by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. This was all God's idea, that we would be holy without blame before Him in love, that we would be unreprovable in His sight, that we would be holy, that we would be accepted, that we would have all spiritual blessings, that we would be complete. This was His idea. Now God's saying, this is what I'm going to set up. I'm going to set this thing up. And not only that, I want them to be my children. Sonship. To the praise, it says in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He's made us accepted in the Beloved One. We're accepted in His sight. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption. We've been redeemed. In whom we have redemption through His blood. Jesus Christ paid the price. We have redemption, and we also have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And I really preached on that last night, forgiveness. It's such a big thing to accept God's forgiveness. God has forgiven us, period. We have His forgiveness. Verse 8, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure which He has purposed in Himself, that in the administration of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. We're in the will. Yay! We've obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His own will. God didn't need to get a committee together. This is all what He wanted to do for us. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. First you have to hear the truth. And Paul, that's what he did. He shared the truth concerning salvation. He shared the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord of all people who have ever lived, and God raised Him from the dead. And when you believe that, you are justified from all things that you could not have done from the law. And he preached the good news, the gospel of salvation. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that you believed, you have to believe it, you can hear it. Not enough to hear it, you got to believe it. But once you heard it, once you believed it, it says you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We received the Spirit of God and it's sealed. And that Spirit is the earnest, it's the token, it's the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption, the full redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. My goodness. We're so blessed to know these things, right? So back to Acts chapter 13. They were so excited to hear God's word. And remember, the whole city, almost the whole city came the next day. Verse 44, Acts 13. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming, speaking slander. Verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you, they had an opportunity to believe it, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, fine. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I've set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Paul was a light to the Gentiles. It's kind of like Jesus Christ said, let your light so shine among men. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. They believed the word of God and got saved. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city. They went to the people of influence. Let's get them out of here. Let's cancel them. Raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. You need to leave now. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. That's the adversary's MO, to stop the speaking of the word, stop the movement of the word, stop people from hearing the word of God. And as you know from reading, Acts, the epistles, Paul in his travels, there was quite a bit of opposition, hardships, things that he went through. And, if you keep reading in the next chapter, chapter 14, when he went to Lystra, they drug him out of the city and stoned him. And the believers stood around, raised him from the dead. That's what happens when you get stoned. I know it means something today in our culture, but Bible times, pummel you with rocks till you're done. So he went through a lot. Let's look at 2 Corinthians for a moment. As Paul went about in his travels, preaching the gospel, the good news, he faced many challenges. in 2 Corinthians chapter 23. I'm sorry, chapter 11, 23. What? What kind of Bible is he reading from this morning? Oh. Thanks for putting up with me. Look at verse 22. Are they Hebrews? Well, so am I. We are in 2 Corinthians 11. Are they, verse 22, are they Hebrews? Well, so am I. Are they Israelites? Well, so am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? Well, so am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. Meaning, no. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. What's 5 times 40? 200. -5. 185 times the whip hit him. 185 times? I can't imagine. And then it says, thrice was I beaten with rods. 3 beatings with rods. And my understanding is that the beatings with rods are those whips that have a piece of bone or metal at the end of it. As a great Bible teacher once said, what do you think his back looked like? That he would go through that. I'd be ready to quit after 1 lash, let alone 185. Thrice, verse 25, was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. You can read that in Acts 14. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. This was written before his trip to Rome. And you know, on the trip to Rome, they crashed in Malta. So I guess 4 times, shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. That's the price that Paul willingly paid to see God's word, the gospel, the good news pertaining to Jesus Christ. That's the price he willingly paid to continue to see God's word move. And here we sit 2,000 years later with a Bible on our lap. You know, in whatever size, shape we want, whatever works, or whatever app we like for our Bibles, right? And so it's so easy for us to read the scriptures. It's so easy for us to put our heads in the scriptures and study God's word if we want to, and then choose to believe it. The reason we have God's word, the New Testament, sitting in our lap today is because Paul, regardless of the circumstances around him, remained faithful and just kept pursuing. Really thankful for the man's life. We're going to close in Ephesians 4, if you would. I mentioned last week when we were together that these days that we are living in, more than ever, God's people need love. And we do. I really believe that. But we also need God's word. We need to feed on God's word. And so we read God's word, and we read God's word with great reverence. Why? Because it is God speaking to us. So we read his word with reverence. It's God speaking to us. We also read his word expecting, because it's God speaking to us, and God has answers for us in his word. This morning we looked at a few things, a few verses that I think many of us have read more than once, right? It wasn't like the first time you ever looked at Romans 3. Oh my goodness, right? But We looked at things like made righteous in God's sight, blessed with all spiritual blessings, holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight, accepted by God, forgiveness of sins, sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. It's not the first time that we've seen those things. And there's so much more that we've read more than one time. So is it good to reread and re-remind ourselves of who we are and what we have as a result of being born again and saved? Is it a good idea? Yes, it is. Absolutely. Why get rusty? We're certainly not going to be encouraged in the world we're living in today. Right? Going to be driving down the street and see a billboard, remember, it's Christ in you. You know, turn the corner and the big sign on a storefront that says, hey, don't forget, you're accepted with Christ, lovely and holy. And we're not going to see any of that. So yes, it's good to reread and re-remind ourselves of what God's word says. And so yes, these days that we're living in, the craziness we see going on in our culture, yes, we all need love more than ever, to love one another. But we also need to feed regularly on God's word. And, you know, we know that without a right understanding of God's word, people just guess. Or they come up with their own thing. Well, I have my own way of believing. You know, me and God have a thing. You know, God knows me, and this is what I've... They just guess. They don't know. And so for those who don't know God's word, I would say, yes, they need love too. But you know what else they need? They need the word of God. They need love and they need the word of God. And I'm convinced there are people out there in the world who have questions, who are confused, who want answers. And we certainly have a good word to give to them, don't we? Yeah, we have a great encouraging word to give to people. And so as you and I, as we continue to grow in God's word, like Paul, we can let our light shine, right? Regardless of what's going on in our world, we can choose to live without fear. We can be God's people living with conviction, because we absolutely believe God's word, and we can live those lives not afraid, not ashamed to speak the truth of God's word, regardless. And we speak that word with love. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. What a wonderful word that we have that's been given to us and that we can share with others with love. Father God, thank you for your love for us, that you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. And Father, how blessed we are to have a little bit of knowledge of the greatness of the truths of your word pertaining to our own salvation. Thank you for having it written so that we could read it and understand it and believe it and live it. And Father, we just thank you for the great privilege it is to be your children, that you figured all this out and your love is so big it is beyond our comprehension. We're grateful, Father, that you look forward to that day when Jesus Christ will come back. And until then, may we love you, believe you, trust you, and may we reach out with love to all that we see, knowing that the Word of God is the truth, and that is what we stand on. So we thank you, Father, for a wonderful week ahead. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Well, I will post this teaching on the website a little bit later this afternoon. And unless the Lord returns, we'll be back next Sunday here and on the phone hookup. For those of you on the phone hookup, thanks for joining this morning. Have yourself a wonderful week. The rest of us here are going to hang out and... love one another, encourage one another, just love on each other for a little bit. So thanks for being here. God bless you. You're the best.